I'm Beto Stacks.
And I'm Rancha.
And we got Free Thinkers Disorder. We got 6 days left in the week. Shit, five. Either way, you got more time to knock them goals out.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
So, what? Come with us to the balcony and let's talk about some free thinking.
How's your week been, Beto?
It's been good, man. Last week, Thursday, I said my Shahada. I'm converted to Islam now.
Oh, congrats.
It's a new path. I've been looking it up for, you know, a few years, you know, ever since I've been did my research on Malcolm X, and I grew up around Muslims in New York City. It's a beautiful religion. You know, I'm a firm believer in believing what you want. You don't got to do what I do. I don't got to do what you do. But I realize, especially with BPD, you know, spirituality is important. It brings structure. I'm a very unorganized person. Mm. And just praying five times a day and having to organize my day so I can pray on time has been very productive.
Oh. Oh, yeah. And I've definitely noticed the effects of that spirituality can have on your life. When I started practicing Buddhism, my general life state increased significantly. Like, I had less lows and more highs.
That's good. And on the topic of spirituality, man, we got to talk about something very important. And that's the demons in our mind that comes when we're lonely and we're suicidal. Because loneliness kicks into suicide real quick. You think the world don't give a fuck about you. You don't give a fuck about yourself. And, you know, spirituality is that reminder, like, you know, whether you believe in God, whether you believe in, you know, Krishna, whatever, you know, Hinduism, whatever you believe in, you know, you have a family, whatever. That's your army against the devil, against the demons in your mind. Because you can't fight the devil by yourself. If you do, he'll win. You know, and if it's not the devil, it's yourself. It's any evil entity that's messing with your state of mind. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why, you know, I lost a good friend of mine this weekend. Very positive dude. You would have never known he's such a good guy, man. And I pray that, you know, God welcomes him to the gates of heaven with open arms and the soul of love. And with that being said, man, I need to stress this, emphasize this. Talk to somebody. When you feel like shit, there's somebody feeling like shit. Me and Rancha, there's days where we feel like shit. There's weeks, there's months where we feel like shit, and we pick each other up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're not alone. So please, 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 if you feel like you can't take it no more, this is it. Call 800-273-8275. Again, 800-273-8255. That's the suicide awareness hotline. Okay. And if you don't want to commit suicide and you're just going through it, seek therapy. I'm going through therapy right now. That's how I found out about my BPD. And because of that, I don't think, damn, I'm crazy. There's something wrong with me. Nah, there's something wrong with the world. No, I understand. Listen, when I'm going through these things, when my moods are unstable, that's my BPD. My mind is not functioning well. My personality has a disorder. And I'm able, because of the help of my therapist and my family, I'm able to get all that negativity, put it in a box, and label it. This is my BPD. This is my depression. This is my anxiety. When the monsters jump out of that box, I order them, hey, get your ass back in that box. I don't need you messing with my life and my family. For other people, it's different. That's how I do it. But please seek help before this shit kills you. I can't, you know, envision another good person losing their life because they lost the war with the devils in their mind.
100%. And that was the suicide hotline, right, Peto?
Yes, sir. The National Prevention Hotline, 800-273-8255. I'm begging you, if you can't take it no more, call that number. Call somebody you love.
Yeah.
Leave your house. It's crazy. There's been so many times where I've been stressed out, where I've been like, yo, I can't take this shit no more. But I left my home. I left the area because I could be in a park and just be like, man, fuck this shit. but I leave the area where I'm feeling the pain, and it's almost like I left the enemy over there. He can't attack me here.
Oh.
I left the danger zone. That's what I like to call it. The danger zone is where all that negativity sitting in. As long as you're on that bench, as long as you're in your bed, even if you get up from the couch and move to sitting on the steps, just get up and get out of that danger zone immediately.
And that especially works if you are in the same area most of the time. When I'm feeling kind of low, most of the time I just go outside and I walk around in a park for like 2 hours. I bring a good book to read or a magazine or something. I do something to get out of my normal, which is surrounded by electronics in a dark bedroom because I work night shift pretty constantly. But also, the two major times that I have been pretty close to that line, I made a mistake. Instead of calling or seeking help like I should have, there were people around me, but they actually dragged me away from that edge before I had a chance to even consider going over it. And I consider them my best friends, and I talk to them almost every day. But if it weren't for them, then honestly, I don't think I would have even been alive to start this podcast. So,
and it's something as simple as a phone call. You know, you don't gotta hop on the phone right away. You know, I get it, man. There's a little shame in it. There's a little embarrassment to call somebody and say, "Yo, I can't take this shit no more. I'm gonna kill myself." You don't gotta do that. We're not saying hop on the phone right away. Hey, you know, this and this is gonna happen. If you feel like that, say it. But man, the best phone calls that got me out of a dark place were literally a friend of mine will call me out of nowhere, or I would call them, and we just be talking about basketball or PlayStation. Like, yo, let's hop online real quick. Let's play some Division. You know what I'm saying? Let's play some Call of Duty. We'd be talking on the mic like, yo, how was your day? Yo, I was chilling, man. You know, I went to the park. You know, I went to work. And then it gets deeper. You know, it's weird. Like with the phone calls, be like, yo, how's your day going? Yo, my day's going all right, man. You sure? Yeah. You know, I went to the pizza spot. Got a pepperoni, you know, I've been feeling like shit. And it'll break down. And sometimes you won't even talk about your depression.
Oh, no.
But just talking about normal life shit will get you out of that hole of my life's fucked up. Because you'll just start talking to somebody. It'll take your mind off of the danger zone. You don't have to physically leave the danger zone all the time. You can mentally leave it.
Exactly. One of my very best friends in the world, who I mentioned earlier, I didn't even know who he was when he managed to pull me from that edge, but it was at the end of the shift, and we ended up just talking about video games and anime for a good 20 minutes. By the time we were done talking, I didn't even know this man's name, but we were both over the clockout time, and we both got in trouble for it. And now he's honestly one of my best friends.
And
that's honestly all I needed. That lifted me from the very bottom to almost ecstatic levels. Yep. Just having that conversation, that deep, engaging, one-to-one sort of conversation where I felt heard and I felt listened to, and it was just an enjoyable topic of conversation for me.
And that's beautiful, man. A lot of people don't give credit to video games and anime. It's something about anime, man. You know, you watch something like My Hero Academia. I love that show because it's so uplifting. You see this dude starting off, no powers, nothing. And he's becoming from a boy to a man. You know what I'm saying? You see that process and you can feel it. You don't have to be a man. You could be a woman just seeing somebody go through the struggle. You know, he's in that story, Deku gets depressed. Deku's like, man, you know, what's the point? I'm going to be weak. But he gets stronger, and he relies on his friends, on his mentors, etc. You know, anime could be uplifting. Any show, it just doesn't have to be anime. And video games just distracts you, and the success, you know, you win in the game, it triggers, you know, dopamine. Like, hey, you know, I'm winning at something, you know. But another thing, find a hobby. Find a fucking hobby. Find something that takes your mind out of your mind.
Absolutely. But let's go ahead and move on to some of the personal, like, spirals Beto and I have when we experience loneliness and we don't break ourselves out of that cycle.
Yep, that's where it stems, man. One of the hardest roots to cut when it comes to depression and that downward spiral. Once that seed gets planted, it's almost like all hell is on the verge if it hasn't broken loose already. And that seed is loneliness. Anybody between the ages of 18 to 26 gets it. Before that, I've been suffering from the dangers of loneliness since I was a teenager. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can be lonely, and loneliness is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem with loneliness is you get stuck in your mind. You're by yourself. You don't have, and even you could be living in a house full of people. One of my worst bouts of loneliness was when I was a teenager. I had my brothers in the house, my mother and father in the house, and I just felt like shit, you know? A girl dumped me in high school, or my homies wasn't messing with me or whatever. Like, we had odds with each other, and I just felt lonely. I felt like, man, I ain't got no friends. I don't got shit. And then when I left the city and I moved out to California with a new job, it was even worse because I was living by myself in my apartment with nobody to talk to. Drinking, like, oh my god, I was drinking like a fucking fish, you know. And oh god, alcohol is fucking terrible. Hey, if you like to drink, there's nothing wrong, but in moderation. Because if you get pissed drunk like me, I would get pissed drunk to drown out the negativity. And since I've quit drinking in January, man, I feel the most at peace and the most at war at the same time. Like, it's the best of times and the worst of times. Because now, when I have that negativity in my head, I can't be like, yo, fuck it, man. I'm going to just get drunk. That's one of the reasons I picked up Islam, to guarantee that I'm not going to be out here getting pissed drunk, you know?
Yeah.
Because, yo, when I would get drunk, man, I thought, you know, if I get drunk, I'll pass out, I'll sleep. I don't have to be awake with negative thoughts. Motherfucker, I woke up with them. And even worse, because my head was hurting, I'm puking all over the place of a fucking hangover.
The alcohol is definitely a catalyst. One of my worst ones was actually a few months ago. So I work at a hospital and I live by myself. So one of the worst things is to go through taking care of multiple people every day for sometimes 5 days a week, and then not having that interpersonal connection. And this goes on for multiple weeks sometimes.
Yes. And yes, oh my god.
So it's, first of all, draining taking care of that many people, but then not having anybody to take care of you, you just go into a spiral because, like, you don't feel like anybody is, you feel like you'd message somebody, hey, do you want to hang out? They're just not going to respond because you just think the worst when you're in that state of mind. And so from there, it just spirals down and down. Well, this is getting pretty bad. Should I just call someone and maybe hang out with them? Until I finally managed to break myself out of the cycle just by it getting to the worst point. I was actually, like, thinking of the line and how people around me that I cared about would respond if I went over it. And just imagining their reactions in my head, just them saying, oh, he was such a nice person, like, he was always happy at work, why would he do this? Like, I didn't see a problem at all. And just thinking of the soul-wrenching pain they would have, it honestly motivated me to pick myself back up and glue myself together.
And to piggyback off that, shift work is a motherfucker, because when I was doing shift work, I was the most lonely. Everybody at work thought I was a jolly, happy person, because that's how I've been. I've always been in the dumps, you know, ever since a teenager. But I always thought, you know, I grew up in an abusive household. It was crazy. It was unstable. And I was always afraid that if I projected that negativity onto my friends or other people, it would make me an outcast. And I was have a fear of abandonment that also comes with BPD. My fear was, if I tell people how I feel, that negativity inside, they're not going to fuck with me. They're not going to want to be friends with me. And that was my fear. So I always keep this, you know, jovial personality. Hey, what's up? I'm loud. Yo, what up? Yo. You know what I'm saying? Hey, how you doing? The scariest part is that I made sure to preoccupy myself with other people's how you doing. But when people would go to me, how you doing? I wouldn't, yo, if you're a mental health expert, you would know I was tripping balls. But they'll be like, yo, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. But how about you? That's a red flag. Oh, if I'm asking you how you doing, Ronsha, and you like, yeah, man, you know, oh, I have this, that, you know, I went to play some golf and I drove around the golf cart, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I drove over some hills, the car flipped over, whatever. I done heard about you almost dying in a fucking golf cart crash. And you saw a fucking guy with six heads, you know, and then you ask me, how you doing? Oh, yo, I'm all right, man. But, yo, what you doing Tuesday?
And that's the thing. People love to talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't most people don't tend to notice when you flip it back on them, even though there was a huge red flag. I'm honestly blessed to be working with a lot of people right now who are very in tune with the people around them. So if I did something like that, they'd immediately backtrack and be like, but are you sure you're okay? And I'm just very lucky to know that they do that for me, and they have done it before.
Yo, I am a motherfucking master at hiding my emotions, even to the point where it's affected my marriage. There'll be weeks where I'd be in a stupor. I was in the deepest, darkest realms in my head, especially when my money was jacked up and I have to provide for my wife. That is so scary. But I always try to keep it uplifted. Every once in a while, I'll cry and break down in my wife's arms. And God bless her, you know, she got my back, even to the point where she was like, yo, when you feel like shit, you need to tell me. Because you're not helping anybody when you keep this shit locked up. But it's just so hard, because even growing up in my home, if I would have told my parents I felt like shit, they'd be like, motherfucker, you pay bills? What you mad at? And I'd be like, you know what? Yeah.
And that's the worst thing you can do to someone's feelings is diminish them.
Exactly. Because make them feel like their feelings don't matter.
Oh, yeah.
It's because, terrible.
Yeah, because they'll, especially as a teenager or in your developmental years, if you feel like your feelings are made to not matter, then you'll feel that way when you're older. And then that just leads to a vicious cycle where, oh, I don't have anything to be depressed about, so I'm just going to not address it.
Yeah. Yo, one of my favorite actors, Robin Williams, he had a Twitter post before he killed himself where it was like, you could be in a world surrounded full of people, something along the lines that I still feel alone. When Robin Williams killed himself, I felt that, because that's my head. I'm surrounded by people. I got three brothers, you know what I'm saying? I got a mom and dad, but I always felt alone, because loneliness isn't, yo, you know, I got 20 people here, I could call my friend. Man, fuck that shit. When was the last time any of them sat down with you at 3 o'clock in the morning when you was ready to fucking blow your fucking brains out because you couldn't take it no more?
Exactly.
Or you felt like it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's been plenty of times I've been surrounded by positive people, surrounded by good people, and I was just depressed, man, because I'm a people pleaser. And I'm a people pleaser because of my fear of abandonment. Because I'm afraid that if I don't please these people, if I don't make these people happy, they're not going to find a reason to fuck with me no more. And then I'm stuck by myself in my head. And that's how I get out of my head, is I defer my personal needs to focus on others, because it keeps me away from the fucking demons. When I kicked that drink in, it gave me less reasons to hang out with my friends, because a lot of my friends drink. So I had to sit in my motherfucking house and focus on myself. Let me tell you, man, loneliness is a motherfucker. It's a motherfucker.
It is. There's been a couple people that have actually been studying loneliness in the past few years, and I actually have a couple snippets from a study and an article, if you don't mind.
Oh, hell yeah, brother. You're the genius here, man. I'm the artist. My mind's all over the place.
I wouldn't call myself a genius. It turns out that there's about 1 in 3 people in the industrialized world that suffer from loneliness, and it's been proven to increase mortality in older adults. Like, older adults that are lonely tend to die a lot faster than the ones who aren't. And then,
Big facts.
And I can see why, because of how it feels. And then it also goes on to state that loneliness has been associated with objective social isolation, depression, introversion, and or poor social skills. But studies have shown that these characteristics are incorrect, and that loneliness is a unique condition that affects an individual even if he is surrounded by people, because he just has to perceive himself as being alone, and then that loneliness sets in.
Mm-hmm. I've been there.
Same. I've been surrounded by people and still felt completely alone. But wait, there's more.
Uh-oh.
Actually, this is a study seeing how loneliness actually affects your sleep and how you feel on a day-to-day basis, and they call this the feeling of being like, being like down in the dumps, like not being very motivated or anything, and just being generally sluggish. They call it, in this study, they call it daytime dysfunction.
Yep.
And they've seen that loneliness averages to increase daytime dysfunction by about 48%. The daytime dysfunction and the loneliness sort of feed off each other, because they've shown that loneliness feeds daytime dysfunction, but daytime dysfunction feeds the loneliness. So it goes into a vicious cycle that goes on into the next day, because daytime dysfunction increases the sort of micro-awakenings that everybody has in their sleep. It increases their duration, so you sleep less. And then you're more likely to feel daytime dysfunction the next day. And then, of course, like I just said, daytime dysfunction feeds into the loneliness, which feeds into the daytime dysfunction, which feeds into the loneliness. And then if you're already depressed, the depression doesn't really feed into any of that, but the loneliness is proven to make it worse.
Yep.
And then the depression slightly increases your daytime dysfunction. And so if you stay in this cycle long enough without breaking it, or someone breaking you out of it, you're not gonna be very happy for very long.
Yo, that daytime dysfunction shit, dude, 2016, right? This was before I met my wife, right? This shit's crazy. I was dating this girl, and I bet my whole life on this chick. Long distance. I was flying from Cali to Baltimore. It was crazy. Granted, this woman was a little older than me, but I was young, and she caught me at a very ripe time. You know, and I'm not holding her guilty or nothing. Ah, you broke my heart, you fucking bitch. No. That's not what it is. The fact that I was super lonely and vulnerable, and I was willing to cling onto anything that showed me affection, right? And it led to me being in a relationship with this woman, and she had told me I was thinking about leaving you for someone else. That spun me into a whole function. Mind you, this is a long distance relationship. So in my head, I'm losing my freaking marbles, man. This is early 2016, right? Before I met my wife. And I was going crazy. The relationship only lasted about 6 months. But in those 6 months, I went through every single emotion to the point where it just, like, after she said she was going to leave me for someone else, I started doing everything, even changing who I was as a human being to fit that character, because I was so afraid of being alone and lonely again. And it still went to shit. The most beautiful thing in the world, because if that woman had never broke up with me, I would have never been with my wife. You understand what I'm saying? That was the most beautiful thing that ever happened to me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't hate this chick. If anything, God bless her, because she led me, you know, to the family I have now. But those 6 months, and then after the breakup, was another 2 months of severe depression. I'm talking about, I didn't leave my house. Even when I was with her, I was just waiting on a phone call, and I felt so lonely because that was the only thing I had. I'm 3,000 miles away from New York City. I got nobody to really talk to. Yeah, I had a couple of boys here and there from work or whatever, go to the gym, you know, hang out, whatever. But that wasn't nothing because I needed it. I needed the I love you. I needed the attention because I never had it. I never had it out here in California. And even like growing up, yeah, my parents loved me, but they were so caught up in their dysfunction that a lot of times I had to take care of my brothers. We'd be carted off to one of my uncles or aunts, you know what I'm saying? And that abandonment, that feeling of, hey, somebody loves me, not because of what I do for them, but just to hear my voice over the telephone or to see my face. And I've been in relationships before, you know what I'm saying? I've been through it all, but that right there, that's peak loneliness. When you're super lonely and super in your head, you are vulnerable to anybody to hurt you, even to the point where they'll leave you because, you know, it's their life, but you'll take it as a personal attack. It's so dangerous, so toxic. But I thank God I went through that stuff. Granted, I still suffer with loneliness. I still suffer with depression. These things are inevitable. It's going to go on for the rest of my life because I have a whole bunch of dysfunctions. I have a dysfunctional personality. I have a disorder. That's why I go to a therapist. But as these things are being addressed, I'm hopping in a time machine and I'm looking back and going, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. You know, it's crazy how dangerous loneliness is. And as far as daytime dysfunction, I wasn't functioning at work, dog. I was on autopilot. I was just waiting on that next phone call. I was waiting on that next text message. I would go crazy in my head. I would have morbid fantasies in my head of another dude messing with a chick, or I would have morbid fantasies about morbid fantasies, and like they're dark, they were sad, and I would go through all those emotions. I would have fantasies about, well, maybe if I die, this person will come after me, and I would visualize myself in a casket with everybody coming to my funeral and saying things, and my eyes would tear up because I was so stuck in my head with that daytime dysfunction. I'm on autopilot and my mind is in another planet. The only reason why I was able to keep my freaking job was because I was good at it. But if I was just starting that job, they would have fired my ass. It was crazy. Oh, yeah.
And that's honestly the biggest trap is if you are using distraction as a coping mechanism, when you lose that distraction, that escapism, and you're left to deal with your own demons unprepared.
All it does is stack. It just stacks, dog. Because then, now when that distraction's gone, by no fault of your own or the fault that you do have, like for example, a breakup, you don't have a lot of fault in a breakup. I need all you motherfuckers to know. Unless you cheated on a motherfucker or you was beating their ass or verbally abusing them or whatever, the chances of you having 100% fault in the breakup makes no sense. And that's what I mean by the distraction. Unless you triggered the breakup. If you triggered the breakup, I don't know what to say about that. Although I have been in those situations, right? But when somebody breaks up with you and you're attached to them, the easy thing is like, it's my fault. I'm a piece of shit. No, hey. That's because the distraction is leaving you and you need a reason to justify that distraction. Because if you just say, hey, this is life, this person want to live their life, I got to live mine, you have to accept the fact that you're human and that you're imperfect. When for the just the day before they left you, you were perfect in their eyes. That's the hardest shit to accept.
It really is. And I also want to sort of go off on a different tangent from that and say that if you are using a toxic relationship as a getaway from yourself,
mm-hmm.
honestly, working towards making a toxic relationship fulfilling, whatever the toxicity is, whether it's her family, him, his family, or whatever, if the more you work towards that, the more you lose yourself and the more energy you need to put in making it work. Yep. And if you're using more energy to make it work than it's giving back to you, then it's not worth it anymore. You're losing yourself in this relationship that isn't doing anything for you anyway. So, honestly, if multiple people come up to you and you know they're your friends and they say you need to get out of this relationship, you should. Because everybody that is your friend has an outside perspective. And if you know they care for you and you care for them, then they can see the bigger picture more clearly than you can.
And I'm going to hit you with that, with loneliness is a state of mind, dog. And it's a dangerous state of mind, because there are instances in life where we have no choice but to be lonely. But there are also instances in life where we choose to stay in that fucking pit of loneliness. Because there's been so many times in my life where I've been surrounded by positive people, good people who cared about me. But in my head, because what they thought was better for me, right? When I was an alcoholic, yo, stop drinking that shit, man. It's fucking with your work. It's fucking with your mind. Man, you guys don't give a fuck about me. You don't care about me being sad. You don't care about me being depressed. You don't care about what I'm going through in my head. You guys want me to stop drinking. Drinking makes me happy. Y'all don't want me to be happy. Go to hell. You know? So I chose to be lonely because I had to convince myself my baby bottle. That's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
A baby crying for a bottle. I need my drink. I need my drink. And then these people saying, hey, we love you. This shit's gonna kill you. Stop. You see them as the enemy. So at that point, you choose loneliness to be a state of mind. Or if you lock yourself up in your house all day, they say, hey, come outside. Hey, bro, you want to hike with me? Man, fuck you, man. You only care about me because you need me to drive you to the damn hiking mountain. You know what I'm saying? You choose to be lonely.
I just thought of a perfect visual for it. So you're on an island. This is loneliness. The island is loneliness. And you're surrounded by a moat. And that moat is only 2 feet deep. Mm. And you are the one who decides whether you're going to walk in the water and see how deep it is, or you're going to stay on the island where you're used to being. And if after you walk through that 2 feet deep water, it's only coming up to just your mid-thigh. After you walk all the way through it, you're like, man, what was I so worried about?
Yeah, but let me tell you about Loneliness Island, dog. Loneliness Island is a fucking paradise. It's a sick, demented paradise, but it's one hell of a paradise, and I'm going to tell you why. Loneliness Island, bro, it's like on the outside, it's a dystopian fucking thing, but once you get comfortable in it, it's like you take a psychedelic, and it changes form.
It's right? A bad trip.
It could be a bad trip in reality and a good trip when you're high. Because let me tell you something about loneliness, man. Loneliness is a conniving bitch. I'm telling you, there's nothing better than wallowing in your own sorrow. You listen, like, my favorite song is Beautiful by Eminem. When I feel like shit, I play that song on repeat, eat a whole bunch of ice cream, smoke a whole bunch of cigarettes, watch TV, and play video games in my pajamas all day, and I don't leave the house. I'm so comfortable. I'm playing Don't Let Him, you know what I'm saying? I'm listening to that song.
Playing games.
Yeah, I feel like shit.
Eating ice cream.
Yeah, fuck the world. I'm going to eat this whole tub of ice cream and play some PlayStation and watch some anime. I'm not leaving the house. I'm not showering. I feel good.
And at the end of the day, your brain is happy, but your soul isn't.
No, exactly. My brain is happy because that's the defense. You're in loneliness. Oh, this sucks. Hey, you don't have to be sad on this island. Yeah, it sucks. Have some fun. Eat some ice cream.
Play some games.
Stay home all day.
Listen to your favorite music.
Yeah. And don't listen to that happy shit.
Oh, no.
You'll ruin it.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to make you cry and realize you suck.
Listen to that
listen
sad
to the
shit.
Sad stuff. The I want to kill. You know what I'm saying? All that. Oh, I want to die. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? Bro, this it's like drugs.
And the more you leave your room, the less you get to enjoy that trap. It's like a sandpit. It sinks you in.
It's quicksand.
And the more you struggle against it, the harder it is to get out, especially the deeper you are in it.
Mm-hmm. Loneliness is quicksand. The best way to get out of quicksand, you can't fight it. You just gotta tilt. You gotta chill. You gotta tilt over. You gotta lean on a friend. Your friends ain't gonna save you from loneliness. If you think like that, you're gonna be lonely the rest of your life. Your friends cannot save you from loneliness. Only you can save yourself from loneliness. But your friends have paddles on that boat, and they'll help you sail.
Speaking of, let's talk about just the loner mindset and how it can contribute to the cycle and that mindset of, oh, nobody's going to be able to save me just because I'm already a loner. I'm used to it.
Yeah. Let me tell you something right now, bro. The worst mentality to have that keeps people in that toxic pit of loneliness is thinking somebody's going to save them. That's why loneliness is a state of mind and a choice, and that leads over to the loner thing. There's people like me, the elite. I've been lonely for so long, I'm a loner now. I enjoy my own company. I've always enjoyed my own company. You know what I'm saying? I've always been in it. Like, I could enjoy more. As a kid, I would play with toys by myself. I enjoy my own company. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't feel as if you can't enjoy things alone. Like, I love going to the movies alone. That's enjoying my own company. But there's a fine line between enjoying your own company and being lonely, right? You can master loneliness. You can master, okay, well, I'm always in the room by myself. Let me go out to the movies. Let me get some popcorn. And that's fun. That's yeah. where being a loner comes in. It's where you understand, hey, I'm on loneliness island, but I don't need my friends to come and take me off this island. I'm going to hop in the boat that's on the freaking shore. And yeah, it's scary, you know, to go to the movies by yourself and eat by yourself. But if you hop on that boat and you let them sails go, you'll learn how to sail real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you want to sing, shit. You know, and that's when you learn to enjoy your own company. And that's when you become a loner, which is a good thing because then you have more room for creativity. You understand what I'm saying?
I think that boat is kind of hidden behind some bushes, honestly, because a lot of people that are lonely, they have difficulty, like, connecting the two because everybody's like, oh, I can't go out to the movies by myself. That's weird. And then they're like, oh, I'm lonely. I'm just going to stay here by myself and not do anything. But after you've been lonely or alone for so long, you have to figure out how to be comfortable with yourself or you're going to self-destruct.
Yep. So it's easy to become lonely, especially when you're an adult and you're starting off in the working world. You don't have a lot of time to spend with your friends, or you pick up a new job and you have to leave home and you get into loneliness, right? And then you start off on loneliness island, right? And then there's that moat that's 2 feet deep filled with water. Once you test that water and go, hey, it's only 2 feet deep, you're still on loneliness island, but then you cross to the other side and there's that boat. And you can make loneliness island your home. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be loneliness island. When you become a loner, loneliness island turns into my company, my self-fulfillment.
That is my comfort zone.
That's my comfort zone. I like to be by myself sometimes. And the way I mastered that was before, I would stay in my room all day. I wouldn't go out. And then I would do little things. I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to go shopping by myself. I'm going to go to the movies by myself. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I like being home. I don't like going to the movies with other people because other people like to do other people's shit. And depending on the mood I'm in, I don't want to do other people's shit. That's why I don't even like going with people in their cars to places, because I'll be wanting to go the fuck home. But that's when you know you enjoy your own company. When you go, hey, I just want to go out, get an ice cream, go to the movies, come home, go to sleep. Then you enjoy your own company because you can sleep right. You can do what you like to do. And a lot of times, like even the club, man, when I started going to the club by myself, I knew I began to evolve from loneliness to being a loner. And I'll go to the club and, you know, maybe I'll dance. Maybe I'll just people watch and have my drink. But it turned into, I know who I am. I know my pitfalls. But I can't eat myself up. Like an Ouroboros, it's the snake eating the other snake's tail. Oh, yeah. It's terrible. But once you stop eating the other snake's tail, you can wiggle away.
Once you're comfortable with yourself, honestly, one of my favorite ways to spend my time now is to just go to an open cafe, bring a book, and just enjoy some nice coffee, maybe yes. some people watching, go down the street, take a walk, just lay down in a park, read the book by myself. I enjoy my own company. I can put the book down and or my phone or the computer or the game controller or the conversation itself and be completely at peace with the only company I have left, and that is myself.
Yeah. One of the things I love, man, is walking the dog by myself for like an hour or two. Because in my head, I'm sorting things out. I have trouble sleeping. So, you know, if you sleep 8 hours, your mind sorts things out and you're good. I don't know. I still have issues with my mind. I still have thoughts that run through my head late at night that keep me up. So when I'm most at peace, it's like at the gym, walking the dog for a few hours. You know what I'm saying? Watching some TV, playing some video games. I turned a lot of things that dug me deeper into loneliness, like watching TV and playing video games, into places of peace, peaceful distraction. Because I'll be watching my show, and in my head, I'll be like, all right, you know, ooh, I remember this nasty thing happening. Let's address it. And I'll pause the show and focus and sort it out.
But like we were saying earlier, is that Loneliness Island, even though we've made it our home, still is Loneliness Island. It's still that original island we talked about that sort of traps you in.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy doing that too, but if I'm not prepared for what I'm going to be doing, or I have a set plan or a timeline set out for my day, I can be on Loneliness Island all day.
Yep.
And then that day can turn into 2 days, into 3 days. And then at that point, I have crossed that very thin, almost transparent line from being a loner into being lonely again.
Yeah. And it's funny how Loneliness Island is a euphemism for the universe. Every single day of your life, the universe is trying to kill you. You literally go to sleep every day, skipping death by a beat, whether you believe it or not. And Loneliness Island is a part of the universe trying to kill you, especially if you're depressed. Your mind and your body want you to die because they're tired of living. Think about that. The body that you've been blessed with, you were born with and raised, is like, fuck this shit. And you have to constantly convince yourself. Your soul has to constantly convince the body and mind, like, hey, bro, one more day, one more day. And Loneliness Island, we all live on Loneliness Island because Loneliness Island is who you are.
Loneliness Island is literally...
It's your body. It's your fucking vessel.
it's a euphemism. Like, Loneliness Island, I started this metaphor, 20 minutes ago? And it is entirely a euphemism for just what you can tolerate, what makes you happy without anybody else bothering you or being around you. It's you. The island is you. And the moat is the barrier we perceive between us and other people and our interactions with them. Exactly. And so, honestly, my challenge to anybody listening to this, going through depression, daytime dysfunction, loneliness, figure out what your fine line is, where your line is. Figure out when you're lonely, when you're being a loner, and then figure out the best way to sort of bring yourself back over that line from being lonely to just being you.
And let me tell you something. The way Rancha explained that is fucking beautiful, but it's not that easy. It's fucking double dutch, but that is okay. If you have a jump rope, a double dutch, you know, it starts off one and a two and a three and a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, da, da, da. That's okay. That's life, man. Once you know how to drive, motherfucker, you got to go on the freeway to go to work. It's not like you can take the main road all the time. Shit. Oh.
Beto just pointed out a very strong flaw in my logic. Yeah, so I've been battling loneliness since I was probably about 11. I'm 24 years old now. Yeah. Beto's pointing at himself like, yeah, that's me too. So I only recently, in the past maybe 8 months, have figured out what my line is, where I need to pull myself back, pull back on the reins and be like, okay, you need to find someone to go have social interaction with or just hang out with for a couple hours to recharge my own batteries. 8 months. I've spent 13 years figuring it out, and I only just started realizing where that line is defined at.
Yep.
So it is not an easy task, but I'm
just
asking,
like the freeway.
I'm asking each and every one of you that are going through it, if you feel yourself getting too far, you're looking at that edge, call the suicide hotline. Don't Don't let yourself, even if you feel like they're not going to listen to you, they're trained. They're volunteers. You're not getting paid. And they're trained to listen to you, to help you figure out what's going on, and to provide you with further resources. It's completely anonymous. Like, there's going to be no repercussions. They're not going to ask your name, your age, where you're at, where you're calling from. They're just there to talk to you.
Yep. That number is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. The National Prevention Hotline. Do not kill yourself. Okay? Please, I'm begging you. There are people that love you. Hell, if you listen to this, we love you.
Yeah.
This shit just came out. This idea came out when we started this podcast. This podcast is my hobby. This podcast stopped me from feeling like shit.
Exactly.
Like, oh, damn. Maybe if I run my car into this wall, I'm going to miss an episode.
This podcast is a way.
People going to be mad at me. They'll be like, fuck you. Fuck you, Beto. You ran your car into the wall because you couldn't pay the light bill, and now we can't hear the podcast, you motherfucker. Selfish ass. So y'all keep me living.
Oh, yeah. It's a way to share our thoughts that we have on the world, and also just thinking about what goes into this podcast, and just what are we going to talk about next episode? What should I look up? What are we going to talk about? What are my viewpoints on it? What can I talk about that would interest you guys? It's all like an interesting distraction away from my own demons, and it's a healthier one because I get to come on here and talk about my problems and what I've gone through, and Beto gets to talk about his problems and what he's been through.
Shit.
And I speaking for myself and Beto here, but I'm pretty sure we both hope that this reaches one person. Yep. One person that really needs to hear it. And they're like, huh, that's actually a good idea. Maybe I should just go out and maybe I should just text my friend and be like, hey, do you want to get coffee and talk for like an hour?
That's all it takes.
Yeah, that's literally all it takes. 1 hour away from Loneliness Island, or just living inside of yourself, and you can be refreshed.
Yep.
And just feel infinitely better.
Yep. Like, a lot of us have a plethora of problems. I talk about a few of my problems on this shit. Ronsha talks about a few of his problems on this shit. We got a lot of problems. Everybody got a fuck ton of problems. But it's baby steps. That's what overwhelms us. And I wanted to say something very important. A lot of people who suffer from depression and loneliness and anxiety or whatever are people with high IQs. Let me tell you something about this high IQ shit. You don't have to score a motherfucking 95 out of 100, okay? A high IQ is anything above a 50. Anything above a 50, that's high IQ, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think about it, right? When you have a high IQ, you're more conscious of reality.
70.
I don't know how the shit is scored. I'm basing it off the military test of the fucking ASVAB.
Military is 30.
Military, all right. Anything above a fucking 30, you more or less have a grip on some kind of fucking knowledge. You know what I'm saying? High IQ. I don't know how they grade the motherfucker. What, Forrest Gump was like a 60?
On the IQ or the ASVAB?
On the IQ.
IQ is 70.
Forrest Gump scored below a 70. Y'all see Forrest Gump? That motherfucker never thought about killing himself. He cried when his wife died of fucking HIV, and he called it a fucking day. He was chasing after some fucking heroin addict bitch, and she probably gave him the fucking HIV, the fucking AIDS, and you don't even know it, right? You done fucked up this man's life, and you have to keep putting it back together because you're dope shooting ass. Fuck you, Jenny. I don't give a fuck. She a fictional character, bro. It's not like some bitch named Jenny who shoot a dope and took advantage of a fucking guy with a low IQ. She took advantage of him. She took advantage of his ass. See, People with high IQ are also dangerous because she was a very intelligent human being and she took advantage of this little motherfucker Forrest Gump because she knew he'd be coming after his ass because he ain't know no better.
I mean, you're right.
Yeah. So back to the topic of people with low IQ, not generally Forrest Gump, but people with low IQ are kind of ignorance is bliss.
Oh, yeah.
You like caught up in just like regular shit. So you're not worried about life. When you have a high IQ, when you have any form of logical fucking intelligence, that's why spirituality is important. Like, yo, religious people with low IQ, I envy them motherfuckers because they don't want to kill themselves. Fuck, they usually want to kill other people.
Facts.
But they're like hellbent on religious people with low IQ bewilder me because they're just so obsessed with their religion. Or whatever, and this is just from a personal experience. You know, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I don't mess with it. I never felt it because a lot of them people that I personally felt were ignorant. They were judgmental because ignorant people can be herded. They're sheep. Low IQ, you're sheep. So every once in a while, there's a smart sheep that fucking runs away, and they're like, ah, shit, you know. Yeah, but like sheep-like people who can be told something in a very convincing fashion and follow it for the rest of their lives without questioning it. Those people usually don't kill themselves unless it's to please their God or it's to please some type of fucking entity like fucking Cthulhu, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But people with high IQ, people who question things are more likely to kill themselves, more likely to be depressed and lonely because logic, we question. Why the fuck am I alive? Why? Nihilism. Usually if you have high IQ, you suffer from fucking nihilism because nihilism be beating at my door like a Jehovah's Witness. You know what I'm saying? Why the fuck am I here? If you want to be technical, I was a mistake. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, my parents could be like, we planned you, but you were trying to get pregnant. You weren't like, all right, I'm going to bust this nut at this hour of the fucking day, and this baby's going to be born at this calculated fucking time when all my bills are paid and I don't have no debt at all, and I'm going to have enough money to make sure this motherfucker go to college and lives a successful life and is a productive member of society, and this is going to be a dysfunctional household, and everything's going to be perfect. If you believe that is ever going to happen or that was planned for you, you were genetically made in a fucking test tube, or you were born, you know,
in vitro fertilization.
Semi-fucking lucky, right? IVF. Other than that, we were all born by a mistake. And there's nothing wrong with that. We were all mistakes. We may have been planned. Mistake. We may have our parents wanted us. But we weren't like calculated, all right, this motherfucker's going to be born. I'm going to put $30,000 away. Nah, fuck no. Our parents got pregnant. They wanted a child. But you don't know, there'd be some parents that wanted a fucking girl instead of a boy. Then they got a boy, like, ah, shit, but they make it work. By the universe standards, we're all fucking mistakes because there's no line, there's no plan, right? So people with high IQ, they question that. Why am I here? Why is all this bullshit going on in the world? What's the point of being alive? This, that, and the third. You question existence because you're intelligent, and with intelligence comes questioning, and questioning is fucking dangerous and leads to loneliness.
Exactly. I couldn't have put that better. Maybe with less of a tangent, but...
Yeah. Yo, I got a lot of problems, man. Bear with me.
That was honestly a good BPD. Explanation. Like, I don't think you wasted a word there.
Oh, thank you.
But, yeah, we're high IQ. You question things. You overthink things constantly.
Mm-hmm.
You overanalyze, oh, that person doesn't like me. They sneered when I said hello, when maybe they just had an itch on their lip.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But low IQ people, haven't seen very many of them that were overly upset with anything major.
I hate those fucking people. I hate them because I love them.
They're lovable in the way we have to make sure they're okay.
Yeah, low IQ people be fucking me up at work, man. Oh, they be fucking me up at work. You know, yes, this is a tangent, but this is to you low IQ motherfuckers. Don't be saying yes to shit all the time just because it makes sense. Okay? I'm going to hit you with the perfect example. Hey, guys, we're going to work an 8-hour day. Do you want to take the morning off? and work the afternoon for 4 hours? Or do you want to work 6 hours and get off 2 hours earlier than you usually get off in the workday? Don't raise your fucking hand to that. Okay? That language is said very quickly because they don't want you to have the morning off. Be smart. Say, 4 plus 4 is 8. If I get 4 off, I work 4 and I go home. Not 6 hours, go home 2 hours early. No, motherfucker, no. Hey, if we work through lunch, you might go home early. Hell yeah. Possibility, chance. Y'all motherfuckers, I feel like high IQ is more likely to get depression and kill themselves. Low IQ, y'all motherfuckers likely to have a gambling addiction because you just don't get it. And that's fucking true because I know a lot of low IQ motherfuckers in my family that are severely addicted to gambling. Some of them motherfuckers came out with some cash. Fuck you. Damn. Enough.
That sounds like jealousy.
Yes. I wish I had a low IQ. I'd probably live a more luxurious life.
Oh, yeah. To be fair, gambling, sometimes you win. Most of the time, you don't.
Yeah. High IQ with gambling, unless they have a legit addiction, they're like, okay, this is retarded. These machines work in the favor of whoever the fuck runs this place.
I lost $80 gambling one time, and I haven't gambled since. That was my first and last time. It took me 5 minutes.
I'm like a hybrid low IQ because I try to like make logical reasoning in my head when I gamble, which is why I knew gambling was bad. I was the like hooked on gambling like for 3 months.
Only high IQ people that tend to gravitate towards gambling are the ones that are trying to cheat.
Yeah. So the way I would do it, I'd be like, all right, you know, I'm going to hop on this machine. I'm going to put $20 in. I'm probably going to win 40. Then I would lose 15. I'd be like, that's all right. I'm going to win my 15 back because I'm going to wait 10 seconds because I know that if I hit it automatically, it's going to take my money. So if I wait 10 seconds and hit it again, hey, I won $50. All right, now if I wait 10 seconds, it's just going to double because there's a whole bunch of people sitting next to me. So there's 5 people sitting next to me. You hit it five times, bing, 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 malfunction the system. I'm going to get my motherfucking money.
Beto.
And I did everything the correct way, and I lost all my motherfucking
Beto.
Money.
That's honestly one of the stupidest reasonings I've ever heard.
Yes. I said I'm a hybrid. I'm hybrid, low, high IQ. All
right, let's get back on topic here.
All right, back on topic.
Do you have anything else to add to the loneliness, depression, and loner, and the connections between the three?
It's a state of mind, and the worst thing that you can do is think that someone's going to get you out of it. Because when that someone goes or they let you down, you're fucked. That's it. If you say, this person's going to get me out of it. If I go, Rancha, you're my best friend. The only time I'm not afflicted by the perils of loneliness and depression is when I'm around you. You're going to save me. What if Rancha moves out of the fucking city?
Then you're fucked.
I'm fucked. But if I understand Rancha is my friend and he will help me leave, but I need to learn how to walk on my own. Think about when you're a baby. When you're a baby and you depend on everyone, your parents teach you how to walk, but you got to walk on your own, even riding a bike. Otherwise, how are you going to transport? How are you going to get to places? So that's the same thing with loneliness. Your friends can help you walk out of that bullshit.
But the majority of the work has to be done by you.
It's a choice and it's a state of mind.
If you need help, then the phone works both ways. I know when I've been seriously lonely, I have constantly have the thought, why can't these people see me drowning? I'm drowning right here in front of them and they don't see me. But what I failed to realize at that time is that I had the key to the kingdom in my hand already. I just had to turn the lock and walk through the door. And I think with that, we're ready to sign off on this podcast.
And before we do that, I got one story just to end it. There was a man drowning in the ocean and said, God, please save me. A fisher boat went by and said, hey, you want to get on this ship? don't worry, God will save me. A merchant ship went by. Hey, you're drowning, we'll help you. Don't worry, God will save me. Another ship went by. Said, come on, you're drowning. Don't worry, God will save me. The man died, went to heaven, and said, God, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent you three ships. That was what Jaden Smith said to Will Smith in Pursuit of Happiness. But that pertains to loneliness to wrap this thing up. You got to call out, and you have to acknowledge that you're drowning, and there's a ship willing to save you. There is no saving grace. There is no crazy miracle. The miracle is you realizing that you can get yourself out of this mess and choosing to do it.
And on that topic, I think we need to, we pounded it into the anvil quite a bit this podcast, but Beto, if you wouldn't mind giving the suicide hotline one more time.
If you feel like you are going to kill yourself, call a friend or family member who cares about you and call this National Prevention Hotline, 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255.
Thank you.
So we wrapping this thing up?
We're wrapping this up.
Hey, this is my brother Rancha.
This is my boy Beto.
I'm your hype.
And I'm your chill.
Hey, we love y'all, man.
See you guys next time.